The crowd is electric. There's a real air of anticipation today. And here it comes, our midfield general, the new Hyundai Tucson Go Edition SUV, proving that it's equipped to deal with anything. Packed with extra kit, including sat-nav with live traffic updates to help you stay on the ball, plus our ever-present 5-year unlimited mileage warranty to keep you match fit. But football fan or not, with Hyundai you can all make the most of our World Cup Tucson Go Edition. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Warranty T's and C's apply.
The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we are on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. I am Jeff Martin, alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Berga.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome too, man. Hope everything is well, trendsetter. We got a big show for you today. First of all, follow us on all social media at High Spot Podcast. We've got Ian Riccaboni on the show. He is the voice of Ring of Honor as we get set for Best in the World tonight. Looking forward to it. We are going to make the trip there. In just a few hours, we are going to watch probably one of the best nights in wrestling that you can think of, as you have a triple threat match for the Ring of Honor Championship between the champion Dalton Castle and the challengers Cody, who's got a lot of riding on this one. We're going to get to that with Ian, and Marty Scurll, the villain too. Again, do not sleep on Marty Scurll, because I believe he could make history tonight. Trendsetter, what's going on, my man? First of all, wow, we're doing the show and we're on fumes, but we're excited because we've got professional wrestling coming up in just a few minutes.
I feel like we're always on fumes. A few hours. Yeah. See, like, you're already running on fumes because you don't know what time of day it is. You don't even know how, you know, to correlate hours and minutes together and seconds. But yes, we're close at hand to a huge event, Ring of Honor Best in the World. And I love the title. It's one of my favorite titles that Ring of Honor presents itself. I love Final Battle. I love all the other events too, because that's towards the end of the year. But I love Best in the World because the best of the best are on this card right now. I mean, we look at this card, you can break it down, we can mention some of the matches that we talked to Ian about. But what I'm so excited about right now is this main event. Very rarely, Jeff, does it happen in professional wrestling where, you know, you have a main event, but a lot of other stuff on the card, a lot of other matches have to build themselves around it to give you anticipation for the event, because you want it to be something for everybody. But this main event, like you said, the implications that we talked about with Ian, it's huge. It's amazing, the fact that Dalton Castle, and let him, you know, take nothing away from him. He wants to be a fighting champion. He wants to prove himself, cement his legacy. Could be putting himself in a corner right now in the scenario where you're facing two individuals right now who are definitely more than 100% opposed to him, and could be risking losing his title too. But just again, the atmosphere to be around there. You and I have been to the Manhattan Center for certain Ring of Honor events. It's just electric. And for them to be in Baltimore, it makes it even more exciting.
Now, we are beat tired, but we made the trip to Baltimore. We're here.
How did we get here, by the way?
I don't know.
I just closed my eyes and I'm in Baltimore.
I had a rough week, Trent said, a rough week. But again, can't be as rough as getting bitten by a dog like Shinsuke Nakamura. And of course, once he got bit, what did you tell me that Shinsuke said?
Oh, I'm sure Shinsuke, you know, enticed the dog. He probably kicked him in the nuts and then basically said, come on!
Yeah, there you go. So that's probably what happened. That's the backstory. We don't need to find out any more details. That's basically what happened. And, you know, that's just tough. So when we're saying we have a tough day, we couldn't have a more tough day than Shinsuke did, but getting bitten by a dog and
though,
not being able to compete against Jeff Hardy, though. But we usually talk about WWE around this time, and usually we've kind of kept, you know, a little bit quiet on WWE. We had our Money in the Bank post show. We talked about that, and we talked about some things going on with Matt Camp about WWE. But we talk about it again today as our lead-in, because a lot of stuff happened on Raw. It's been a while since we've actually talked a little bit about Monday Night Raw and what's been going on. But what do you think? Should we lead off with? Should we lead off with Sasha Banks and Bayley? Bayley finally snapping. Should we talk about Brock Lesnar, who they're trying to make him out to look like a guy that's really hard to deal with contractually? And is it going to work the second time around with the fans actually turning on Brock and making him a heel? What should we talk about? Start off things about Raw.
There's just so many things.
How about Dolph Ziggler, who I text you and I was telling you the next day?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so really, to book is not that hard if you really believe in a guy and you get behind him and you give him quality matches like Dolph is capable of. I mean, you remember at the Continental Airlines Arena for the Monday after WrestleMania here for 29, the crowd went nuts when he cashed in his Money in the Bank and he beat Alberto Del Rio in the middle of the ring. And the crowd went nuts for Dolph Ziggler. And ever since there, you thought, okay, this is where they're going to push him. Okay, this is where they're going to do it. Oh, okay, another failed run, well, another IC title run.
Injury had a factor in that.
Injury had happened. Yeah, you're right. The concussion too. Right there, that he got his feud with John Cena too. You thought he was going to lead somewhere, but then he's just been kind of like he's been to the almost to the mountaintop. Well, he's been to the mountaintop because he won the title.
He had his moment,
but it just really hasn't stayed up there as much as we thought he would be. And then when he signed with WWE, maybe about a few months ago, you're like, oh, okay, this is a guy that's just there resting on his laurels because he's got the money, he's working on his comedy, he's working on his TV shows. So really, wrestling is at the background. But now when you take a look at this and you take a look at his matchup with Seth Rollins, the two matches back-to-back now when he's now the Intercontinental Champion, maybe this is what will finally turn it around. And a match like this could go a long way in maybe adding more legitimacy to Dolph Ziggler, a guy that's been beaten up by us a lot this past year. And sometimes this has been an afterthought. But maybe this could just, you know, maybe recharge his career.
You know, there's the old saying, Jeff, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. There are a lot of ways to go into what you just said. But for me, ultimately, it's like, it's a good thing to see. We all knew Dolph was capable of this, but, you know, I don't know Dolph at all personally, nor do I know a lot about him in terms of how he is backstage. But, you know, from what I could tell, especially when individuals use social media, Jeff, sometimes you could be your own worst enemy. And I think sometimes that's happened to Dolph, where he's been his own worst enemy. He's been unhappy with certain things, direction he's been going in, and he's kind of voiced his opinion, and it's kind of hurt him in a way. His pairing with Drew McIntyre, I think it works for him. But again, I'm not surprised. He's had great matches. You made the comment on your text was like, you know, after all this, now they're giving him a push. Now they're kind of putting him in that spotlight. I mean, yeah, why not?
And I'm cautiously optimistic.
Better late than never. But at the same time, I don't know what they hope to expect to get from this. I mean, I knew the focus was on making Cody, we're talking about Ring of Honor here, but making Seth Rollins more of the man. But, you know, maybe you need the scenario here where, who knows? Again, there's a big debate on who's going to be a contender for Brock Lesnar when he does compete. But again, I think this is great for Dolph. But I don't, you could say it's to revitalize his career, but, you know, we've seen this story before.
Yeah, that's why I'm cautiously optimistic. Yeah. I want to see a couple more weeks to see where they go with this. But my argument would be, you know what? Since Brock isn't there and their Universal title isn't always defended or isn't seen on TV, I'm thinking the next step would be to make that Intercontinental title mean more. Have that title be defended every night on Raw, every Monday night on Raw. Make that the focal point. Make that be the championship that they chase while we find out what's going on with Brock Lesnar. So to me, if they do that, I'm okay with it. But it's something that you and I have talked about for a long time. We were like, you know what, this is what they have to do with the Intercontinental title. It just can't be on The Miz and just because it's promos. Promos can only help so much, right? And then when you have a matchup like this where you have two great competitors like Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler and you have this matchup, 28 minutes, the second longest match so far in Raw this year, you're like, okay, you know, all right, fine. What are we going to see next time? What are we going to see next week with Dolph Ziggler? Are we going to see an evolution in his character? Is this something that could lead to finally Dolph Ziggler getting that push? So hopefully it does, but I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. I'm going to be very cautious heading into next week, see what happens. But I like so far where they're going, but WWE has that way about it of just whoosh, turning it 180 and just totally giving up on this. So hopefully they don't.
Yeah, hopefully they don't. We've been down this road before where there seems to be a momentum for not just a guy like Dolph, but for a certain talent out there. Do you think, all right, finally they're the company's believing in this individual. Let's see where it goes. And then the following week, it's kibosh. So, you know, like you said, be cautious, be optimistic at the same time too, but we'll see what happens. Great for Dolph, and it also puts the IC title in a great light. But again, that's another mundane thing we've been talking about, the IC title, the prestige, give it some relevancy. You know, at this point right now, I think they're in a good path right now, as Seth was your former champion, not Dolph is, in terms of Seth now probably chasing Dolph. But we've been down this road before, so let's be a little bit cautious when we're thinking about it.
And dude, let me tell you something. I'm going to kick myself for the longest time.
I'll kick you.
Well, I know you would, but the WWE stock, there was a point where it was $15, $17.
Yeah.
And I would always tell you, dude, buy stock, but I should have done it myself because I should have taken the initiative and done it. And now this week, stock has risen all the way up to $70 a share.
Wow.
So think about that. $70. And it reached a high when it was between 60 to 65 when the deal was announced between Universal and Fox. And now it is official. WWE comes out with the press release that is now being a 5-year relationship now with Fox. And they call SmackDown Live now the flagship show heading into 2019 in October.
For Fox.
For Fox. Yeah. There you go. And a lot of people are confusing. Wait a minute, is Raw still going to be the flagship show? I think the word flagship has a lot of meanings, but like you said, for Fox, it's going to be Fox's flagship show. You could, with the verbiage, you could go a million ways about it, but Raw is still going to be the main show. But
words
you will
can be manipulated.
But we did talk about it a few weeks ago, saying, wait a minute, if Fox is getting this big, sweet deal, I better see Ronda Rousey on this. I better see Brock Lesnar on this show. I better see some Raw superstars. I better get Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and those guys. I better see them on SmackDown Live because WWE is getting a pretty penny from Fox, and if they want those stars, they're going to get those stars.
Yeah, but this goes back and forth to what you and I talked about last time when this happened, the deal. We thought that this was going to happen. Raw was going to be on USA Network, NBC Universal, and Fox was going to have SmackDown Live, and you're like, well, they better have Ronda Rousey. They better have Roman Reigns. They better have this.
I'm acting I bought it.
You get what you pay for. If you knew this is what you were buying as Fox as a network, then you're going to get what you paid for. Can you say, hey, listen, I want this and this and this? Yes, but Jeff, once you sign pen to ink and saying, all right, this is what we're offering you as WWE's offering it to Fox.
But we don't know if that's what they asked. We're going to have to find out.
We don't know. So again, like you're making assumptions for that. I'm making assumptions the other way around.
But wouldn't you assume, though, that would be something that they would ask?
Ah, dude, I've been tired of assuming things for the longest time as we've covered WWE professional wrestling. As soon as you assume something, it's going to go the other way around. You get what you paid for. If they paid for that, then they have to deal with it.
And now, of course, everyone's talking about Bayley and whether she's turned to the dark side, whether she's become heel. All I know is that she snapped. She had enough about Sasha. She just couldn't take anymore. 2 weeks ago, we saw her chase Sasha down at the car, telling her to open the door, which I said, woo, stalker tendencies there. That, to me, is the point where I thought she was going to go heel because once, and let's talk about just regular relationships and whether it's friendships or domestic relationships, once you go for that door and they refuse to open the door, now it becomes stalker tendency. Now it becomes a little issue where maybe you're not up all there, So talk about this. Was it well needed for Bayley? Because the crowd loved it. The crowd was chanting, yes, yes, yes. This is finally, we talk about long build and storytelling. A lot of people criticize this because, you know what, this is taking too long. Oh my God, just get to the match already. They know what kind of matches they can have. If you talk about their matchup in NXT Brooklyn NXT TakeOver during SummerSlam weekend a few years back. To us, probably the greatest matchup we've ever seen, women's wrestling matchup we've ever seen, in my opinion. But I know you kind of felt the same sentiment. Just where do you think they take Bayley from here? And now Kurt Angle saying that she needs to have anger management classes in order for not to, face further, whether it's suspension or fines.
No, well, Kurt Angle said they have to go through counseling together. They both have to go through counseling together.
Okay. All right.
It's just this like some type of friendship that needs to be saved. If not, Kurt Angle mentioned Sasha Banks, she'll be fired if she doesn't.
Wow.
Jeff, in terms of a storyline and the payoff, I don't really see a great payoff in my mind. It's good to see Bayley on the other side of it. It's not that I've been wanting her to be healed, but to see a different dimension and different characters, like a different level in terms of her personality on screen is definitely something it's new. And it's something that we haven't seen before. We've seen the other side of it where Sasha Banks was the villainous woman and Bayley was the good girl that wanted to avenge her loss. And we've seen that dynamic. Now to see the dynamic with the roles reversed, pretty interesting. We'll see what happens here. I don't think it's something that the fans were hoping for, like people chanting John Cena, please turn heel. But it's a different dynamic, so it's something interesting. So hopefully the payoff works out, and we'll see where it goes from here. But yeah, you're right. Some stalker tendencies from Bayley, and it seems like her right now, she's taking it more personally than Sasha Banks would right now.
But do you see a heel, or do you see her just standing up for himself?
I see a heel aspect here. I see her literally attacking, in a character like Bayley and what she represents. What an attack, Sasha Banks, even if she exploded, because she had the same scenario and situation when she was fighting Alexa Bliss in a no disqualification match when he used the kendo stick. Now maybe it's just she's sick and tired of people anticipating what she should or should not be.
Remember, if you are a face and you do that to babyface one time, okay, that's fine. You're standing up for yourself. But if you repeatedly come after you're done beating her up and she went back at her a few more times, if you repeatedly do that, then to me you have heel tendencies, and that's what I believe is going to happen. But we'll find out again. We're cautiously optimistic about where this is going. Again, with WWE, they could change it at any time, so we want to make sure that things don't change. But it's leading.
Yeah, whenever you watch a WWE program, it's like buyer beware. You're never sure what's going to happen.
Don't invest fully into it. Give it a few weeks because you don't know what direction they're going into. Yeah. But definitely something that piques our interest too here on Monday Night Raw. But something that is also amazing is we're here in Baltimore, baby, and we're here for Best in the World. And I want you guys to do a few things. I want you first and foremost to follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast. And also, I want you guys to leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It's very simple on Apple Podcasts. Just go in there, write a review, and give us a 5-star rating, because I think we do a great job for you guys, the listeners here, the crew here on the High Spot Podcast. And, of course, this interview is going to kill it when you hear from the voice of Ring of Honor, Ian Riccoboni. The voice of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccoboni. So definitely want to hear that. And also check us out on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. We want you guys to follow us on all our platforms where podcasts are available. And, man, Best in the World tonight. How forward are you looking? How excited are you for tonight?
Well, I'm looking forward to it, if that's what you're asking me, Jeff. Exactly. I'm excited for it. Yeah. And I'm excited to talk to our guest, Ian, because you know what? He brings it full circle in terms of not only the evolution of where Ring of Honor's been, but at the same point in his career as well, and what he's gone through from the moment he took over the chair from Kevin Kelly to where he is now. It's exciting. It's kind of a good evolution, but at the same time, a lot to look forward to in the future for Ring of Honor going back home in Baltimore.
Yeah, and now, without further ado, let's get to the interview with the voice of Ring of Honor. Talking Best in the World is Ian Riccoboni on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, Best in the World is tonight in Baltimore, Maryland. We are joined by the voice of Ring of Honor, Ian Riccoboni. Ian, what is going on, man? How's everything?
Oh, I'm doing great, you know, and Best in the World, I can't believe it's tonight. Tonight is finally the night. And we have an incredible attendance number that I'm really excited about. You know, Baltimore's been the home of Ring of Honor for the greater part of the last 7 years. And we had been in a venue that seated about 1,000. And fortunately enough, we're now in the UMBC Arena and home of the ultimate underdogs, the 16 that took down the one. And a bit of an underdog story for us, too. I understand that we've doubled our attendance record for the city of Baltimore. And I think we're excited. And what a card that has drawn the people to the arena.
Now we're going to get to the card in just a few minutes, but I introduced you as the voice of Ring of Honor Wrestling. Now it's been almost a year now that you've taken over for Kevin Kelly. How does it feel, the adjustment period there? Was it something that you were able to have a quick turnaround? Or, you know, and just how does it feel to be the voice of a major company?
It's kind of crazy, and I think for a lot of people, when the news initially broke that Kevin was no longer with Ring of Honor, I think there was an expectation that the job might be maybe posted, for lack of a better term, or there might be an opportunity for somebody more established to become involved. And, you know, for me, it was something where I just wanted to step in and do my best every day. And I'd always said to Kevin, you know, and Kevin had always said to me, if he should ever part, that we had hoped that I would get the first shot. And so when you get that opportunity, when you get that moment, you know that it's something that you've been working for and you want to grab so tight that you don't want to let it go, but at the same time, you don't want to force it. So, you know, in terms of being in the lead chair, it's been since February 14th of 2017 and time's really flown since then. And it's something where I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for my partners like Colt Cabana, like BJ Whitmer, like Caprice Coleman, guys that have all been in wrestling for a little over 2 decades. And it's kind of crazy to think that it's been that long already. It seems like only yesterday. So, you know, one of the things I try and do, I always try and listen to myself. I try and watch back every event we do, whether that's TV, whether that's pay-per-view, whether that's Honor Club events, and really, you know, really just learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable with myself. It's commentary is a really weird introspective thing where a lot of times you're your own best judge, and you can kind of tell if something lands or if you captured the moment or if you didn't. And the ability to be honest with yourself and really trust yourself are two big things that I've really had to learn. Thankfully, I have a guy like Colt who's a real straight shooter, and I have some great producers and some great production that have really helped me trust myself and, you know, be critical of myself and find areas of opportunity. So it's been a wild last year or so. It's kind of coincided with the birth of my son, my wife and I's son, Zach. So that's been crazy too. And it's pretty neat. And, you know, he gets to see me on TV when I'm not at home, and, you know, they watch it on our club. So it's pretty cool. But the challenges are definitely there. You know, the expectation that, you know, somebody as accomplished Kevin Kelly will be replaced by somebody maybe similarly accomplished, and kind of coming in as an unknown was tough. But again, you know, if it wasn't for my partners like Colton, BJ and Caprice, or, you know, the producers that we have, I think the transition would have been a lot tougher.
Well, Ian, let me be, if I'm not the first one, to congratulate you, obviously, on the bundle of joy in addition to the family. That's great to hear. You said how this year has been kind of like, it's gone fast in a lot of ways, and it's kind of also been a time of maybe reflection as well. Using the same perspective in terms of talking about yourself and where you've come in from a year span of where Ring of Honor once was when you started to where it is now, how can you talk about the evolution of Ring of Honor? Because it seems right now that it's literally at a rocket, and it's literally gained so much momentum right now where we don't think anything is going to stop it.
You know, I think the momentum that Ring of Honor has really boils down to the strategy that's in place, you know, from our senior leadership. And, you know, Ring of Honor, despite maybe the meteoric rises of guys like the Young Bucks and Cody and Marty Scurll and Jay Lethal, Dalton Castle, Punishment Martinez, Adam Page, I think despite all that, there really is a core belief that slow and steady is the way to go. You know, there may have been opportunities for shortcuts. There may have been opportunities to sign different folks to maybe roll out that Honor Club in a half-baked fashion or do other things. But what it really comes down to is making sure that we have a fully developed television product, pay-per-view, Honor Club when it's time, and knowing when to pull the trigger. And not, you know, stepping out of our comfort zones and taking risks, but taking calculated risks at the appropriate opportunity. So, you know, Ring of Honor, just, you know, we've been able to capitalize on the increasing stardom of guys like the Young Bucks, guys like Cody and Marty Scurll and all the other fellows that I named. But also, really, we do so by listening to the fans, returning to markets where we do well. In some cases, that's some newer markets for us. Dallas, Texas has become a hotbed. Las Vegas is suddenly one of our best markets. Baltimore is proving to be one of the best markets. So it's really listening to that instant fan feedback from things like reactions in arenas, ticket sales. You know, I'm always one that reads online some of the reviews and things like that, just to see where I may have come up short, to really get a focus on that. And that's so important in guiding the product. But I can take you back to 2014 when Kevin Kelly first started to ask me to come around, when he met me at the Monster Factory. And I can tell you in 2014, we had a lot of the guys you see now on NXT, whether that's Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Cedric Alexander, who's now in WWE. And, you know, the list goes on and on. I think the difference is now those folks laid the foundation. And when they moved on to different opportunities, that's when we saw, well, that's when we had to make a move. And sometimes the best, you know, sometimes your best move comes when you absolutely have to make it. And that's where guys like Marty Scurll stepped up. Adam Page stepped up. The Young Bucks became hotter than ever. That's when Cody was able to come into Ring of Honor and really make a mark. So for me, it's been kind of crazy because I think back to 2014 when I first started coming around, 2015 when some of our houses were actually down compared to 2014, which is actually a great year for us. And then I think about the turnaround that began to happen in 2016 as we began to build compelling television with guys like Silas Young, Jay Lethal, with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And then from there in 2017, where we needed wrestlers to step up, we needed athletes to step up, and they did so in spades. So it's kind of been incredible. You know, I think Ring of Honor has been counted out a few times, especially with some of the great talent. You know, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish are two of my favorite wrestlers that I've ever called matches for, and they're having incredible success right now. But it opened up a vacuum, and you're seeing a lot of new folks step in, and I think that's where the success has been. And we wouldn't have that if we didn't have the family environment in the locker room that we do. It's very familial. It's very all for one, one for all. And that's something that is pretty neat to be a part of, especially as we continue to grow.
Yeah, the family atmosphere, I really got that. We actually were lucky enough to go to Supercard of Honor. We actually were able to cover Ring of Honor and do media there. And one of the main things was like family. It was everyone pulling for each other. And that was great to hear, because there was like no competitiveness or someone trying to, you know, stab somebody in the back or something like that. The family atmosphere was great. But also leadership, Ian and Joe Koff, that's somebody that, what does he mean to Ring of Honor? Because we were there also too. We saw, you know, him, you know, talking with the fans and asking them how they think, what they think of the show, and just having somebody like that, you know, reach out to the fans and be fan friendly, and the way you guys are reach out to the fans. What does Joe Koff mean to Ring of Honor?
I think first and foremost, Joe Koff is a fan, and that's really the key. If you have a product, a wrestling product, and you have somebody that's a fan and is willing to listen to other fans' experiences and to know what it feels like to be in their shoes when they put their money up to buy the ticket or buy the merchandise or buy the 8x10 autograph or any kind of thing like that, I think when you're able to put yourself in their shoes, you suddenly have that much more of an edge no matter which business you're in. And it certainly helps. And Joe is a guy that he helped coordinate the Battle of the Belts back in, I believe, in 1986, which was an incredible project that linked up a number of syndicated markets to air a live wrestling special all at the same time, which is a Herculean feat now, yet alone almost 30 years ago. So Joe has a lot of television experience, and he's a guy that he's a lot of wrestling experience. The thing for me that sticks out about Joe the most is he knows the product inside and out. And I'll give you a couple examples. You know, Colt and I like to have a lot of fun. We like to make some music references. We like to reference movies, things like that. And, you know, I thought some of our Honor Club events are a bit lower profile. And I knew he had plans on one of the nights. He had a family engagement and would not be at the event. And the next time I saw him, he quoted back what I said. And he said he appreciated the reference and he liked the reference. So even though he had a family engagement that night, something very, very important to him, he went back and watched the entire event. And so for somebody who is responsible for the product and ultimately the yes or the no, it's incredible to have somebody like that at the helm, because he is such a stickler for detail in a positive way. He's such a personable person, but more importantly, he's a straight shooter who will tell you what he likes, what he doesn't like, what is good for business, what is bad for business. He's never given me advice that hasn't been warranted or hasn't been appreciated. And he's somebody that I definitely admire. And somebody that just is really vital, you know, to the Ring of Honor operation. When you talk again about maybe that slow build and that steady build where we, you know, year after year laying the foundation, increasing which television markets we're in, becoming from a pay-per-view product to a regular pay-per-view product, and now a pay-per-view and Honor Club product, those were all decisions made under Joe Koff, and they've all paid off each step of the way. So it's been great to have somebody like that who really has a forward-thinking vision but has just enough restraint to know when to strike and when to make moves that will better the business. And it's really been great having him and getting to know him, especially in the lead commentator role, because, you know, I think his vision and the vision of guys like the Young Bucks, guys like Jay Lethal, Dalton Castle, our producers, that's something that is all in alignment, which makes producing the television and pay-per-view and producing a fun wrestling program that much easier.
It's definitely a team effort, Ian. And when I look at Ring of Honor and everything it's accomplished from, you know, when Jeff and I started really paying attention to it to where it is now, you know, the thing is, Jeff and I, we like to consider ourselves quote-unquote hardcore fans. We love professional wrestling ever since we could remember growing up. Now, if somebody were to come to an event like in Baltimore, Maryland at the UMBC Center and not see Ring of Honor for the first time, I know certain promotions like to have a certain type of identity, the way they promote themselves or the way they like to have their shows viewed by the public. What type of identity would you give Ring of Honor for somebody who's never seen it for the first time?
You know, I think Ring of Honor, its identity in the beginning in 2002 was the very best independent stars. And so you could reliably see Brian Danielson, Christopher Daniels, Low Key, Spanky, Paul London, those guys in competition. As that evolved, I think now you're seeing almost like a World Cup of wrestlers. You're seeing obviously guys that are exclusive to Ring of Honor, but they are from a global scale, whether that is Marty Scurll, Cody, guys that I've named 500 times already. But also, at this particular event, we're going to have guys. We're going to have Los Ingobernables de Japón, Evil Sonata, and Bushi. We're going to have the women, the athletes from Stardom, which includes Oedo Tai and Mayu Iwatani. You know, and from top to bottom, you can always count on a certain level of athleticism. You can count on a certain level of intensity and, honestly, urgency. There's always a bit of urgency in your matches. Our matches always have stakes, too. And each event, for lack of a better term, counts. And whether that's an Honor Club event or a television taping or a pay-per-view, everything means something and everything's tied together. And that might scare somebody that hasn't seen the product away, but it shouldn't, because it's very easy to jump into Ring of Honor because we have clearly defined characters and in a lot of cases, relatable characters and relatable wrestlers. Whether that's Silas Young, who I think everybody has somebody in their life that reminds them of Silas Young, who's kind of ornery, kind of mean, hasn't lived a great day in his life, or whether that's a guy like Cody, who seems to have the world on a string, but everything around him seems to be either falling apart or hanging on by a shoestring, or a guy like Jay Lethal, who's cool under every situation. You know, and so for Ring of Honor, what I hope to accomplish as a broadcaster is to convey the action as, you know, as reliably as I can, to tell the stories the best I can. And so that really, you know, if you've seen us maybe once on television, you'll have a decent idea of coming to your first live event. If it's your first live event, period, I think you'll be blown away by the athleticism, by the intensity, by the speed, by the urgency with which our wrestlers compete. And it's a little bit different because I think, you know, a lot of times you'll see if you go to a live event, maybe with other organizations, you'll see something where the foot isn't on the gas all the time. But when you see guys like the Young Bucks, when you see Kushida, when you see Lethal Martinez, when you see the Kingdom, when you see Kenny King, those are guys that always give 110%. And that's not a rip on the other companies. One of the benefits and one of the reasons we have a lot of great athletes in Ring of Honor is our schedule. Our schedule makes us easy to follow. It makes a desirable schedule. It allows family lives and personal lives. So that's one of the perks of being in Ring of Honor. So you get the wrestler's very best effort every time you come to see Ring of Honor, because honestly, they have the stamina and they have the energy and the endurance to do so. And so you really get something different time you see Ring of Honor. And it's a bit of a variety show where it used to be the very best independent wrestlers. Now it really is the best wrestlers in the world.
All right, Ian, let's get to the meat and potatoes now. Best in the World is tonight from the beautiful UMB Center in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm hyped up for this. I'm going to be in attendance, so is Brian here. Looking forward to the night's festivities. Let's talk about, let's congratulate First Punishment Martinez on becoming the new Ring of Honor television champion. He won it in Dallas over a guy you spoke so highly of in Silas Young. This is going to be a hard-hitting match between him and Adam Page. Adam Page is a guy that's really stepped it up in the last few months or so, had an amazing matchup with Ibushi at Supercard. And then with Jay White at Strong Style Evolved, which is great. Talk about this matchup here and just a little preview of what we can expect tonight between Punishment Martinez and Adam Hangman Page.
Well, these are two guys that hate each other, and they've been scheduled to face each other off the top of my head twice and haven't even gotten in the ring, and they've attacked each other. They've cost each other championships. And it's something to me where the television title almost doesn't need to be on the line. That doesn't mean the television title is not important. But it just the hatred and the vitriol between these two guys is palpable, and you can see it when they lock eyes, or when they attack each other, when they do those sorts of things. And for me, I think the key to this match is who's coming in the healthiest. The match in Dallas took a lot out of both men. And it was really something where Martinez, I think, may have won the match, but I don't know if he was, I don't know if he's the healthiest coming out of it. And so these two men, they're going to go tooth and nail. We know Paige can fight. We've seen him in, you know, strap matches against Frankie Kazarian. We've seen him in some of these ladder matches, like, you know, with the Young Bucks. We've seen him all over the place. So it's going to be something where I almost favor Adam Page, but at the same time, Martinez has showed that he can take it to another level and take it to a different gear, especially on pay-per-view events. I think that adrenaline gets going, and Martinez really turns Martinez on.
I know what he's talking about, Jeff. You know why? Because you and I hate each other as well. So, you know, I definitely can feel what yeah. Hangman and Punishment Martinez are thinking right now, because I can barely stand you
Ian,
this
it's,
second.
It's, you can cut the animosity here with a knife here between me and us. But we got to put on a show for the audience, you know. So yeah, you got to be professional sometimes, you know. But plus, Hangman's also got a, you know, did he or didn't he kill Joey Ryan too? That's got to be on his.
Well,
mind
that has
too,
not
yeah,
been that, proven yet.
Well,
Jeff.
Yeah, that has to be on his
allegedly.
Mind. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, yeah. So he's got to,
yeah,
you know.
I still think it was Stephen Amell. But.
Another matchup, which is probably one of the, if not the best tag team rivalry ever, one of the best, and that's between the Briscoes and the Young Bucks. You know what you're going to get with this matchup between these guys. They are no strangers to one another. Just Young Bucks and Briscoes. What do you, if for someone who's going there the first time, what can you guarantee you're going to see between these two?
Well, the Young Bucks, you know, obviously they're going to try and use their speed, their continuity. The Briscoes, on the other hand, they're just going to be there to fight. And the Briscoes' lifetime in this rivalry are 7-5-2 matchups. That doesn't include things like six-man tags. That doesn't include things like eight-man tags. Just straight up 2-on-2. The record is 7-5. But the Young Bucks have won 3 out of the last 4 matchups. So really, I got to think the momentum is on the side of the Young Bucks. What's crazy is the fact that the Briscoes have had so much trouble lately, which shows you the level to which the Young Bucks are competing right now. And really, the Young Bucks have a lot going for them. They just defeated Evil and Sonata at Dominion in Japan to win the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. But at the same time, the Briscoes are coming up maybe one of the biggest wins of the year, defeating Killer Elite Squad in Dallas at State of the Art. So both teams coming off of huge wins. This one got a little bit more personal than it normally did. If you think back all the way to Pittsburgh, the Briscoes willingly got themselves disqualified with chairs and then lured Bullet Club into the ring. And it was the first time that I've ever seen two men take out the entire Bullet Club. And so the Briscoes are operating maybe in an altered mindset right now, one that I haven't seen since becoming the Ring of Honor broadcaster. And really, I think the Briscoes, you know, they call their championships their property. They've held them 9 times. And I think they're going to do whatever it takes to go back to Sandy Fork, Delaware, with the championships, whereas the Young Bucks are on such a roll right now, I could also see them picking up the victory. I think the Briscoes are going to have to keep the Young Bucks grounded, and I think the Young Bucks are going to have to avoid some of the big power moves, including the Jay Driller from Jay Briscoe.
Ian, don't want to put you on the spot here, but are the Young Bucks and the Briscoes maybe two of the greatest tag teams that you've ever seen? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, like, you know, just in your being
well, that's
a fan,
what you're doing right now.
Well, I know. I kind of put you on the spot. But
no, 100%. Yeah. And I'll say this. When I watch tag team wrestling, you know, I think there's two types of tag teams. I think there's odd couple tag teams, and I think there's tag teams that look and feel like a team. And for Mark and Jay, you know, they have their individual identities. Jay has been a former world champion, but at the end of the day, Jay and Mark are probably the best tag team in Ring of Honor history. The only team with an outside shot of catching them is the Young Bucks. And the Young Bucks, the only reason I say outside shot is because the Briscoes have been doing it since 2002. Now, when I think back to teams that I was like watching when I was growing up, it was teams like Demolition, the Midnight Express, you know, those sorts of teams. And I don't know. I mean, the Briscoes are on a completely different level with their size and their athleticism, the things they can do at the sizes they're at, where the Young Bucks have just completely changed the game. But I think there's arguments for both teams, especially in the Ring of Honor hierarchy. I put the Briscoes 1 and the Young Bucks 2, knowing that the Young Bucks started a little bit later in Ring of Honor. And should their careers go equidistant, there's no reason that it couldn't be 1A and 1B.
Definitely true. You're going to be in store for a fight, and that's what I feel it's going to be when it's all said and done. Who comes out of it, who knows, but I'm sure they're going to be sore the following day afterwards, no matter what, both teams, basically. But, you know, Jeff, you like to build up the anticipation. I get it. And in broadcast, we're told about, you know, teasing, but I'm going to get right into it, Ian. The main event that I am looking forward to, what everybody's looking forward to, yourself included, for the Ring of Honor Championship, you have a triple threat match here, and kind of a two-part question here. First of all, you know, it's easy to ask you how you feel, how excited are you to call this match between Dalton Castle, Marty Scurll, and Cody, but also talk about the implications that the outcome of this match could have, particularly in Chicago, Illinois, for All In.
Yeah, I mean, this match has some heavy stakes, and for a lot of reasons. Dalton Castle, you know, what a lot of people don't know, he's been nursing a broken hand and a broken finger. And those are very obvious because they're visual. What people don't know is the back injury, the hamstring injury. He's been avoiding taping those until recently in his match against Evil in London. And so for me, Dalton Castle has just been such a fighting champion, a guy that's fighting through injuries because his moment, his legacy is going to be defined by this championship run that he's on, and deep down he knows that. You know, for a guy like Cody, his legacy, I feel like he feels he doesn't want to stop at just the Ring of Honor World Championship, and that's obvious. He's got an opportunity to face Kenny Omega at the Cal Palace for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship in a rematch there, and then at All In, he's going to be facing whoever the NWA champion may be with the stakes raised, making it title for title. Should he hold the Ring of Honor World Championship. With Cody, though, you have to wonder, is that a blessing or a curse? Is that a distraction? With that much going on, going into tonight, will he have enough sense and enough blinders and enough capability mentally to block all of those things out and get the job done, check off the first box and becoming a triple champion? We'll see. It's something where we've seen Cody thrive in this chaos before and power through it, push through, and come out the other side richer, you know, whether that is with Brandy, with Bernard the Business Bear, with championships. You know, we wondered how long things would go until Cody cracked. And we started to see cracks in the armor at Final Battle when he lost to Dalton Castle. And then we thought we were going to see some more cracks. We ended up pulling out the win at Supercard of Honor, which really launched him back into the world title picture. So for me, there's a lot spinning around in Cody's world, and that might be a blessing or that might be a curse. Cody obviously could win the world championship and go into the Cal Palace, and it could be champion versus champion there. He could leave there with two titles and go into All In, so he could become a triple champion. For Marty Scurll, he's a guy who every championship he's challenged for, he's won it on the first shot, except for the Ring of Honor World Championship, and I know that eats at him. If you try and triangulate this match, it could be anybody's match, but I think the implications are real. It'll be interesting to see who carries the banner throughout the summer for Ring of Honor as the world champion. And you got to think that whoever it is, is going to be, you know, certainly in demand, whether that's wrestling or at All In. So I'm very excited to see where this ends. I think all three, you know, if you had to do the Scott Steiner math, I'd say, there's a 33rd and a third chance that any man could walk out as world champion. That's true.
Of course, there's only a 50% chance of that, Jeff.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, I like Marty a lot. I think when we saw him at Supercard and he had his chance against Dalton Castle, I think he falls into the thing where, like, we see a lot of him on Being the Elite, and it's kind of like on a comedic aspect, so we forget that he's the villain sometimes, and so sometimes when you see him in a match like this, you kind of, you know, don't think that, you know, he'll be able to pull it off, or you don't think he can find that villain in him. But I mean, Marty is a dark horse here, and I think he should be treated as someone that does have a chance to walk away tonight with that Ring of Honor championship.
Yeah, I think so too. And Marty, he works best on the element of surprise. And if you talked about villains, with Bullet Club and with everything that's been going on Shaky Ground, what's the most villainous thing you could do, right? I mean, if there's an opportunity, he could take it. And we saw Cody do that in Lakeland, Florida, when it was Champions versus Bullet Club, and it was 2-on-1. It was Marty and Cody versus Dalton, and Cody essentially cost Marty his victory in the elimination match. And then Cody, the opportunist he is, immediately pinned Dalton Castle. So we know that Cody's not below stooping to that level. We'll see if Marty is as well, or if this time, you know, maybe Dalton can lure them both into his own trap.
One second, Ian, I have to clarify this. You're saying bulk up on shaky ground?
Oh, they're fine.
They're fine. What are you talking about?
You know, they can say that. They seem to be better. All I have to say in my mind, if I see yet another kind of subgroup, the Golden Elite, where they're kind of preaching almost exclusivity and where only certain guys are allowed in, and one of them isn't even an official Bullet Club member, wouldn't you be mad if you were Cody, if you were Marty, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's not hitting people right in the face, but I know it eats them alive. You know, and,
wow, Ian stirring the pot here. Oh, my goodness.
Well, think about it. Uh-huh. That Golden Elite shirt was the fastest-selling pro wrestling T-shirt ever. Yeah. And who's getting a cut of that? It's Kenny, it's Kota, and it's the Young Bucks. It's not Cody, it's not Marty. And you can continue to go down that path with some of these microaggressions and things like that. And it all builds up. And I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, something, I don't know what, and I don't know if it'll be tonight, but I wouldn't be surprised if something down the line happens where this whole thing gets kind of shaken to its core.
Yeah, I mean, especially, too, with another Cody and Kenny in San Francisco at the Cow Palace too, so that is also too a lot of stuff on Cody's mind too. Like you said, he's got to worry about All In, right? You finance that, promote that, produce it now, and everything. And then he's also got to worry about, you know, a matchup with Nick Aldis and winning that Ring of Honor title, and also his matchup with Kenny Omega. So a lot could be on his mind. And Marty, I think Marty will be my pick to win, and you know, rooting for Marty. I love Marty. Hopefully, he comes out victorious. It'd be great. Also, great storylines too for you guys, and seeing how, you know, how Bullet Club would be okay with that, and if there'd be animosity between Cody and Marty. You got a great card here, Ian. You got also Flip Gordon and Bully Ray. You've got Jay Lethal and Kushida. You've got Kenny King and Austin Aries. Austin Aries, real quick, how important is it to get a guy like that back, and how important is having Austin Aries working in Impact Wrestling, working all over the world, come here, the Belt Collector, come and take on a guy like Kenny King for this match tonight?
Well, you know, in the history of Ring of Honor, there's only ever been three men that have held the world championship more than once, and the first was Austin Aries. You know, for Austin Aries, it's really exciting to have a guy like him in the fold. You know, I don't know what the future will bring. He makes his own rules. He plays by his own rules. And so, you know, he's a guy that has come in, was looking to win the television title, ultimately was unsuccessful, and instead we saw a friendship deteriorate before our eyes that's lasted longer than a decade. So for me, this one's a bit personal. You know, they'd known each other from living in Las Vegas. They had been in Ring of Honor together. Austin Aries at one point managed All Night Express. And another point, All Night Express and Austin Aries were a great six-man team in the HDNet era. So for me, Austin Aries is one of the very best professional wrestlers in the world. Anytime you can add somebody like that, it's a definite bonus. But I got to be honest, you know, after what he did to Kenny King, after what he did to Todd Sinclair, I think I'm going to be pretty biased on this one. You know, Kenny King has earned my respect as a wrestler, as a father. And anytime somebody does something like that to somebody, you got to root for the guy that's been wronged. And Kenny's been wronged by his friend. And so I'm really hoping, you know, Kenny King, this might be, you know, kind of a coming out party for Kenny in, you know, at the very least putting up a great fight against a former world champion.
Definitely a lot to look forward to. Excited for tonight and all the events and the festivities. You know, you have the meet and greets, and you have the actual card event, and then who knows what happens afterwards in terms of celebrations for certain people, whether it be titles or victories over their rivals. It's an exciting time in professional wrestling, and that's why I want to draw to you and ask you this question right now, Ian, before we wrap this up. For me personally, covering wrestling and watching it for as long as I have as a fan, and now covering more from a journalistic standpoint, you know, it's clear for me during watching the times of, you know, the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars, and seeing, you know, the evolution of professional wrestling, it seems like there's at some point, maybe, and I might be wrong in my math here, maybe 10 years ago, there might have been a lull. Now it seems like it's the perfect time not only to be covering professional wrestling, not only to be, you know, working and doing commentary like you are, but also to be a professional wrestler as well, but more importantly, a fan. Can you just elaborate more on terms of for yourself and for everyone that's going to be attending tonight, how great is it now at this day and age to be a fan in terms of how professional wrestling is covered and how it's viewed by a lot of people using the gift of social media sometimes?
You know, it really is incredible. I think back to when I was in middle school, I used to send off and buy tapes and trade tapes, and I would never have anything anybody wanted, so I'd ultimately have to end up to buying them. But I'd buy everything from old primetime wrestling to superstars of wrestling to AWA to NWA. Oftentimes not great quality. Oftentimes it felt like you got ripped off. But the important part and the cool part was seeing the events you hadn't seen before. And then fast forward from that, which let's say that was 1997, 1998 to 2014, and the WWE Network comes around, and all of a sudden, everything that I'd bought pirated copies of is suddenly at my fingertips. And yeah, it's slightly edited. Yeah, it's a little bit different than you remember, but it's all there at the touch of a button. And then skip ahead a couple more years. You have Honor Club. You have High Spots Network. You have Chikaratopia. You have even the Monster Factory has their own channel. And so it's things like that where you have this amazing ability to watch almost any professional wrestling match from almost any era at any time, including things people put up on YouTube, people put up on Daily Motion, just these treasure troves of things that a lot of times I didn't know exist. You know, in the age of internet forums, you know, I was on quite a few of them, and it was fun to talk about things that I didn't really know happened, or things if you blinked and you might have missed them. I'll use the example of when Brutus Beefcake was the Running Man, and he attacked Earthquake, and he attacked Rick Martel. That would be talked about on message boards, and no one would really be sure if it really happened, and no one really had it on tape. But then the minute YouTube comes around, all of a sudden there's proof of it, right? And it's these weird, quirky moments that hardcore wrestling fans latch onto and get into. And then there's moments like the Shockmaster falling through the wall, which is something my wife enjoys, and she thinks it's the funniest thing in the world that you could pull up in 2 seconds now. So it's amazing for the hardcore fan to be able to jump in and see any moment from any time in any and almost any wrestling promotion. But it's also fun for casual fans, too, that want to relive some of their favorite moments. And it's really cool for somebody that's still a hardcore fan myself to go back and to be able to share those things and to share with my wife, who's really not a fan, why I am a fan and then what's made me a fan, and try and find things that she might like. And it'll be really be cool too when, you know, when Zach gets a little bit older to, you know, show him, you know, what I've been able to be a part of as part of the team on Ring of Honor, and also some of the things that I had fun with when I was growing up.
Ian Riccoboni, Bonnie, with us here on the High Spot Podcast. One final one for me is, man, can you believe we're already end of June now, and the year's almost it's going to be half over, and, you know, there's a lot of shining stars in Ring of Honor. One final one for me. Is there anyone that we should be on the lookout towards the end of 2018 who maybe the fans should be aware of? Who do you think is going to make their presence felt with the last 6 months left in the year?
The most underrated guy right now in Ring of Honor, and, you know, even though he says there's a conspiracy, even though he says that there's people in the office fighting against him or working against him, is Matt Taven. And Matt Taven's really on the precipice of something special right now. And all it's going to take is the right opportunity, the right match. And I think Matt Taven will really cement himself in that upper echelon. And Matt Taven's been a guy that's always had all the tools, you know, but he's had knee injuries that he's fought through valiantly. He came back quicker than anticipated, became an even bigger star than he was. And now he's leading kind of this next generation of the kingdom. And for me, there's nobody on the precipice of a breakout quite like Matt Taven.
Ian, thank you so much, Ian Riccoboni, the voice of Ring of Honor. And
more importantly, Ian, how are you going to keep it together? How are you going to keep your composure? Are you just so used to it nowadays that it doesn't faze you anymore? Because if I were you, I'd be sweating bullets.
I'm excited, a nervous man. I can't wait to get out and sit in my seat tonight.
Yeah,
man.
I'm a nervous wreck, Jeff. We're just talking about it. Let alone, you know, Ian's got to be doing it. So
when that red light on the camera comes on, I go into almost like a trance. It's tunnel vision, and the only thing I can see is Colt and my monitors. it's going to be something. And I've been looking forward to this one for quite some time, especially when you start to find out, like we mentioned earlier, the record attendance. When Honor Club submissions subscriptions have never been higher, when some of the advanced numbers on the pay-per-view have been super positive. So for those things to come in, it's hard not to get excited and to know that the eyes of the wrestling world are going to be devoted to you. It's going to be incredible. So I can't wait, and it's going to be awesome tonight. And with that said, I actually got to go. I got to get preparing with Colt. So.
And, yes. Yeah, and we're not going to keep you.
Yeah, and I know you don't want to keep Colt waiting. And obviously, you know, you've got two Ring of Honor fans here because we're coming all the way from, well, not all the way, but we're in Jersey driving up there to check out the events. And, you know, I just want to say thank you, Ian, and hopefully we can do this again sometime down the road.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Thank you for having me.
And may I add, huge amount of respect and congratulations on the newborn.
Yeah, congratulations.
I appreciate it.
All right, Trendsetter, that was Ian Riccoboni joining us talking about tonight's festivities. Best in the world, man. How pumped are you for that triple threat Ring of Honor heavyweight championship match? Dalton Castle, Marty Scurll, and Cody.
Wait, you're asking me that again, Jeff? I think we established that.
Well, it's getting the show till now.
It's the one thing that I'm sure everyone who bought a ticket, who paid their hard-earned money, wants to see. They want to see this main event because ultimately it's not because it's going to be a great main event with three very distinguished wrestlers and great athletes, and you know, and Dalton Castle's in there as well. But you saw that little shot I took at Dalton Castle? But at the same time, so much implication goes after this. The legacy of a guy like Dalton Castle, Marty, him going after something that's eluded him now, which, you know, Ian said he's used to getting things at the first shot. Now it's this, and he's facing a member, a Bullet Club member. And Cody now having the ability to take the title and also have a chance for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, have a chance at the NWA Championship to be a three-time champion, which is unprecedented. It's never been heard of. You know, it's been rarely done in the world of professional wrestling. The first of first, a lot of implications as the main event, so it's exciting to see how it ends up.
Yeah, and of course, that interview was brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out their entire summer fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com. And you know what, guys? Save yourself 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST. All in caps, some great looking stuff there. Summer is upon us, so you're going to want to look your best. Go to Collar and Elbow. Trendsetter, so much to do. And also, where can we see the High Spot Podcast? Well, we got a YouTube channel, folks. You can go to YouTube and just like and subscribe our YouTube channel, the High Spot Podcast. We've got exclusive interviews with such stars as Rich Swann, Mia Yim, and of course, Kara Hogan from Impact Wrestling. Plus, you can watch the Trendsetters miniseries on the High Spot Podcast, The Adventures of the Trendsetter.
And, with the Trendsetter, Jeff.
Adventures with Get the it Trendsetter, right. Man. That is our moneymaker. That is what brings us the cash here on the High Spot Podcast. But again,
best. What kind of cash is that? Monopoly money, Jeff?
Cash. I'm saying it from one of the people I don't look up to in radio, Chris Carlin, because he goes cash. So I can't believe that I just copied that.
But, it stays with you, right?
It stays with you, man. It's impressionable. But a few more things before we wrap up here. Trendsetter, Rey Mysterio Jr. is the special character when you pre-order WWE 2K19. Talk about that, because usually what that leads to is probably signing with the company. How good would it be to have Rey Mysterio back with WWE?
How good would it be, Jeff? It'd be very good. Just for the mere feeling that, you know, Rey's been doing this for a while. And for him to come back theoretically home, most people might think of him as a WCW guy, a Lucha Libre type wrestler, but he's made his most mark in World Wrestling Entertainment. And it's for him to come back, and the, you know, the rumors going out there he might be working on a 3-year deal. I would love to see it happen, because again, there's so many more matchups right now that you would like to see him in. Now, does he fit in the 205 Live category? I don't know. Does he go back to the main roster and vie for a individual title like the US title, IC title, Universal, WWE Championship, him and AJ Styles? That would be an amazing matchup to see, right? But, you know, Father Time's undefeated for a reason. He's had a set of injuries. So to me, I like to think if this does happen, which usually is the case, we've seen it happen with Goldberg, Sting, then maybe, who knows, this might be the end of the road in terms of, it, to me, he's a bona fide Hall of Famer. He deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Everything he's done in the business. So really excited to see it happen. And so many fantasy special matchups.
If it happens. It's not a guarantee, but there's rumors saying that they're
I said if it happens. Yeah. If it's a finalized deal and actually does happen, it'd be great, because there'd be so many matchups to see Rey Mysterio in that we haven't seen before.
The only thing I worry about is, like, usually when you get these guys that have the name, eventually it wears off. And then, like, take a look at the Hardys now. They're on separate, doing their own things. The kind of,
well, nothing lasts forever,
comes
Jeff.
Off the rose, right? Yeah. Then you had the Dudleys who came in, a ball of fire, and then that faded. Again, I'm going to say the Hardys too. So you don't want the hype of this again because people are going to go crazy if he comes back. But you'd also want to see him fade and then all of a sudden he just becomes relegated to just another guy on the roster because I don't think that's, you know, right. And it seems to be happening a lot now with guys that sign. You have that amazing opening. You have that amazing first couple of months. And, you know, you have them show up at a big event like a WrestleMania. Then, you know, Monday Night Raw, everyone's crazy for that person. And then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, they start fading away and just become another superstar. Hopefully that doesn't happen. You bring up great points, whether 205 Live is in his future. We still don't know. How does that affect All In? Because he is All In, too. So he's supposed to be at the All In event, too, in September. So would he actually, you know, sign after that or before that? Something we also got to, you know, take into consideration.
It might be after. But one thing, Jeff, you know, it's something you don't want to see, but that's becoming kind of the norm. And for a guy like Rey Mysterio, you mentioned, you know, the Dudleys, Rey Mysterio, Sting, Goldberg, right? And in this case, the Hardys. They're not the future of the company. They're there to help build and establish the younger stars. So if he were to go to 205 Live, or if he were to go on the main roster and have a big splash, and then all of a sudden he kind of puts somebody else over, and now he withers away towards the end in the twilight and walks away in the sunset, that's kind of what's expected, isn't it?
I guess.
You hate to see it, yeah, but that's kind of what it's expected because they're not the long-term goal. They're not the long-term fix. You want them to put over the stars that are going to be the ones that claim, hey, I beat a Rey Mysterio Jr. I defeated a Goldberg. I beat the Hardys and the prime of their tag team run, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, you hate to see it happen, but unfortunately that's the norm now for WWE.
You talk about big splashes and word came out. Well, not word, but it was
the Jericho Cruz?
Jericho Cruz in October, so we're looking forward to that.
A big splash there.
The Sea of Honor tournament, too, that if you go on the website, you can see exactly the matchups there. But that's not what I was talking about. What I was talking about is Triple H finally announcing NXT UK. Finally, it is become a real thing now. You've got you know, a bunch of performers from Great Britain over there, from Scotland. And also, too, what I'm very excited about is that Toni Storm is now a part of NXT UK. And she came close to becoming the NXT Women's Champion by defeating by coming close to defeating Shayna Baszler. But, hey, just having Toni Storm in the fold, I'm all for it. And just I think that, you know, can it work? We will find out. But it's another step in the globalization of WWE and NXT.
Well, look at it this way, Jeff. I'm just excited to see Toni Storm. I don't care. As long as I see Toni Storm, I'm happy. I'm a happy man. I could die a happy man just by seeing Toni Storm. But you're right. It's something that's been talked about a lot. We were wondering what was going to happen after the first United Kingdom tournament. We were wondering what was going to happen here. We kind of came to the realization, too, it was more of a TV deal. They're really taking their time here. But it's good to see, from my opinion, Jeff, the United Kingdom Championship have a home.
Yeah.
It has a home now. We know what's going to happen to it. And I think this is the beginning of what, you know, Triple H, Paul Levesque had spoken about before, you know, the globalization and localization of NXT, where, you know, they want to have it in the UK. They want to have it in other areas around the world because WWE wants to be the global force of all professional wrestling. I think this is the, you know, the first step was the Performance Center in Orlando. This is the second step. And I think, you know, before you know it, it's going to lead to bigger and better things for WWE.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and of course, it is a great time to be a wrestling fan, trendsetter.
And more opportunity for other stars.
Oh, definitely. And it is a great time to be, actually, a fan of a bunch of different wrestling companies because MLW now announced a two-hour network event on beIN Sports. They, on July 27th, will present their wrestling, MLW Wrestling, on beIN Sports Network. So definitely want to catch that. We want to congratulate everyone at MLW because just another place, another platform for these great wrestlers to showcase their talent. So definitely looking forward to that, trendsetter. And of course, we are on the road to so many things coming up in July. Now, like you said, Best in the World is tonight. Looking forward to that. Again, your main event is Dalton Castle defending the Ring of Honor Championship against Marty Scurll and Cody. You got another set of amazing matches too. You're going to see guys from New Japan over here like Los Ingobernables de Japón are going to be live in action tonight, so looking forward to that. Punishment Martinez and Adam Hangman Page, that's going to be a Jared would say a slobber knocker. So many things here tonight for Best in the World. And remember, we were talking about it before, Best in the World, kind of after that, it's going to be a whirlwind, man. We are done halfway through the year now, heading into now the summer months, and it's going to get crazy for us, trendsetter, because that we got Wrestler's Lab, Lab Normal, coming up July the 8th. We will be there. And then, of course, we've also got Bash in the Bronx on the 21st, and we've got the Innovative Pro Wrestling on the 22nd. And then after that, man, it's Boardwalk Beatdown, August 24th and 25th in Atlantic City. Go to standalonewrestling.com for tickets. And then it all leads to Labor Day weekend, All In. The High Spot Podcast is All In. We'll be there on Podcast Row. It starts August 30th through September 2nd with All In on September the 1st. Trendsetter, man, it is going to be a great time, a great summer for the High Spot Podcast. And everybody following us here, all the crew members are welcome to come along on the ride.
Yeah, they're all welcome to come along on the ride. And the ride would also be, not to mention, you know, we're focusing on All In being the ultimate event, maybe towards the end of the summer since it is Labor Day weekend. But you can't forget also the Jericho Cruise and the Sea of Honor tournament and all the events and the festivities that Jericho himself can provide. And it's going to be a great time for the Jersey Wrecking Crew to be on sea, be aboard in the Bahamas, and really doing our stuff to get great content for you guys out there so you can enjoy it, watching our YouTube channel, listen to it, and all the social media platforms we have available to you. So it's going to be a crazy, not only summer, it'll be a crazy end of the year for us.
All right, guys, we want to thank the G-Pods Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz's baby, along with Michael Wiseman. They're the flagship show there. You can listen to Between the Ropes downloads every Wednesday. You've got amazing shows there like Cosmic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu and Justin. They will be all in as well. Stick to the Gimmick Recapping NXT. We want to thank, too, the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks for putting our podcast on their platform as well. You got podcasts like Kicking Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, Shot of Wrestling, and of course, Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty. Mark Adam, we love you. Thanks for putting us on the platform. Also to the Shining Wizards for all you that you do here for our show. Trendsetter, man, it is the summer. Best in the world. Are you buying the first drink?
I'm buying the first drink, and I maybe, if, depending on the mood I am, I might buy the second drink. Who knows?
All right.
But you know what? It's the great, you know, for us, it's the beginning of summer. Summer didn't happen already. The beginning of summer is here in Baltimore, Maryland, tonight, for Ring of Honor, Best in the World.
I mean, follow us on High Spot Podcast on all our social media platforms. Our thanks go out to Ian Riccoboni, the voice of Ring of Honor. We will recap Best in the World next week on the High Spot Podcast. Guys, happy 4th of July. And
don't forget, we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I'm the trendsetter, Brian Berry, wishing you guys a very happy, healthy 4th of July weekend. And don't forget that we do this for one reason and one reason only, for you,
the crew.
The tension is through the roof. And here it comes, our little magician, the new Hyundai i10 Go Edition, proving that talent has nothing to do with size. Packed with extra kit, including sat-nav with live traffic updates to help you stay on the ball, plus our ever-present 5-year unlimited mileage warranty to keep you match fit. But football fan or not, with Hyundai, you can all make the most of our World Cup i10 Go Edition. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Warranty T's and C's apply.